Close your eyes and let us pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in this place. We can feel you already in this place. We thank you for gathering us. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for what you have purposed and planned to do with our lives. Thank you for the changed hearts, changed minds, changed lives that will leave this place in the 3 days. Thank you for your word which is coming in power in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for everybody here that our ears will hear clearly. Your word will come to us with clarity as your word will enter deep into our hearts. There will cause a transformation to happen in our lives. We thank you, Father, for these 3 days. Thank you for your glory in this place. Thank you for your power. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. And everyone shout a loud amen in the church. Oh, a louder amen in the church. And you may take your seats. Now, the theme for this year is if you love the Lord. If you love the Lord. And it's one of the things I like to talk about is loving God. In my opinion, of all the beautiful things that God made, for me, one of the best, probably the best, is love. That's why when JHS girls get to JHS, they fall in love. Even we have a way we say it. Like I've fallen. I don't know whether it's a gutter or it's a hole or it's a pit or what it is. But like even small is it the most popular programs on TV right now are about love. It's not true. It's not it. Yeah. Girls are watching it. Boys are watching it. You have Miguel, Rosalinda, Esmeralda, eh? What love took from me? your people, they have to pay attention. Oh. Listen, let me make an announcement. If you see it's becoming warm. And when it starts to get warm, people start to become sleepy. So we want to be our brother's keeper. If you see your brother or your sister by you trying to fall asleep, you shake the person hard to wake them up. If you do that, you are a good Christian, you'll go to heaven. If you let your brother sleep by you, you're not a good Christian. Maybe you go to hell. I don't know, but I'm just saying. I hear what I'm telling you. So don't let anybody by you sleep at all. Wake them up. They should stand up. They should do something so that they will stay awake. Okay, we're going to go on lunch break very, very soon. But for now, I want to open your ears and listen to what I'm sharing with you. The theme for this year is if you love the Lord. And you see, I'll show you something. Look at this verse. Titus chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 3. Will it come one day? Do you have any other translations, like more simple English? Like, Look at this verse. This is why we have gathered here. Pay attention. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that is appropriate for someone serving. I'm preaching. Pay attention. Serving the Lord. They must not go around speaking evil of others and must not be heavy drinkers. Some women drink. You know that. They drink alcohol. They can get drunk. So he says, the women should not be drinking alcohol. Instead, they should teach others what is good. Look at what comes next. These older women must train the younger women to love. If you look at the King James says, they must teach the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Forget about their husbands and their children. Just concentrate on, they must teach the older women, the younger women, to love. That is the reason why we have gathered here for 3 days. I have brought you here to teach you how to love. How many want to know how to love? Because even right now, the way you guys are doing the loving, some people are meeting people on social media. You meet somebody on Instagram and you chat the person small. No, you say, I have fallen in love. Yeah. real, proper. The Bible says, 1 John 4, God is love. That's what I'm saying, that I, in my opinion, I think that the most power, like the most powerful force is love. Don't be bored though. I'm preaching to you. Even to love. You know, there was a time ago, some time ago, if I tell him I love you, it's a very nice thing. This time ago, if I say, Pastor, please, look at you now. Look at you now. And so what has happened is that you are not even sure anymore. Am I preaching something important? We are not sure anymore what it means. That's why the pastor said to the church members that they should teach the older people. Love must be taught. Love can be taught. Like, you can teach. Bruh. Sit down like this. I'm the one preaching. So you look at me. Don't look at people at the back. What's your name? You are my friend, okay? Oh, you don't? Yes. So you put your leg down like this. Where is your notebook? You didn't bring. And so you listen to what I'm saying. It's good. We can teach somebody to love. Love can be taught. Love must be taught. We must teach you. JHS girls. SHS girls. SHS boys. How to love. Jason likes this topic, man. I don't know why. When you start talking about it, he's very happy about it. How to love. There is a way to love. Are you hearing me? But let's start from the beginning. Matthew 22, verse 35. Pay attention, oh. We'll be out of here very soon. You'll be surprised. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Give me King James so that it has the King James feeling before we come to it. Then one of them, which was a lawyer. Are you here? Are you here? Is it not coming? It's not clear. Can you see it on the wall? One of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment? I'm showing you why I think that love is like such a powerful thing. Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. When they say, first of all, it is a great commandment. And then it is the first. The first is always very important. Is that not it? Oh, you don't mind me again in the church? No, if you don't mind me, I will just close. But I'm the one organizing the conference. I can also say we have closed. By the way, tomorrow is my birthday, so if you are planning not to come, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. When we close from church, tomorrow we'll not be here for very long. When we come, 2 o'clock, 5 o'clock, we have closed. Uh-huh. So if you don't come, by the time you see the pictures, people have cake around their mouth, cake everywhere. You'll be very sad that you didn't come. You better come. First, the firstborn child was given to God, was always given to God, dedicated to God. First. There's a book called Proton, is that not it? Is it still there? Is it in the Macarius still? Proton. It's not there anymore. But which book is it in? It's a book on its own in the Macarius. It's still there. You should read it. It's a very small book, but very powerful. First, the foremost, the most important, the principal thing. Jesus says that to love God, young people, and I was telling some people that if you think Strong Christian Conference is for like iChurch and K-Church people, because right now you are a grown-up person, I am preaching to you Bible. There's nobody who has grown the Bible. Yeah, and I can tell you that one of the things I have noticed, even among grown-up people in church, Akata, is that you? Hello. Hey. One of the things I've noticed, you look at them. You have grown-up men and women who come to church. The main problem, don't tell them, but the main problem with the grown-up church is that their love for the Lord is not good. Their love for the Lord is very low. Their love for the Lord. I'm telling you something. Your fathers and mothers. They're the ones I'm talking about. That's why we are talking about. We are learning it when we are small, small boys and girls. How to properly love. And we are how to love the Lord. Why? Because it is the first. And it is the great. If there is something you want to do, you want to live your life doing, it is this particular thing. To love God. And the how. How to love. You teach the older women to love. How do you love? I'm coming to teach you in this conference. How do we love God? What's the way? And you see, I'm telling something. Let me tell you something just before we continue. The best person to show you how you should love him is him himself. You want to love me? Ask me. I said, well, buying flowers and what are you doing flowers? You want to love me? As somebody just use wraps. They'll be talking, Reverend William, you know, you're a great pastor. You know, since I came into the church, you have taken care of me. I love you. Kisses, love, hugs. Is this an ama? If I want to love you, shouldn't I find out from you how you want to be loved? Otherwise, I am at risk of making mistakes. Some girls, when you take them out, he loves me. Ha. So for that girl, every week, let's go somewhere. That's love. There are some girls, every time you are coming, I want to see you holding some small bag. It doesn't even matter what is in it. But like, when you are coming and you are holding a bag, something in it. Every time, for Emmanuel, I was so laughing. Because every time Emmanuel is coming, he's holding some small bag. There's something in it. The best person to show you how to love him is him himself. The person is there. Otherwise, you'll be making a mistake. And so God has shown us. That's why we have come here to learn. Because I'm telling you something. Believe me. Look, I was saying something. Conventions that we have in church, where we bring a prophet to come and see something and call people out and pour oil on them, and they will fall down and they will roll on the floor, eh? And they will get up again, and then they will fall down again, and they will cover them with a cloth. You will not need such things if from a child you have learned how to love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, thy soul, and thy mind. You will not. The place is quiet. I don't know whether I'm not preaching what today. Let me try here and see whether here will work. The guy who asked the question, I've been telling you, when you meet him in heaven, please thank him for us. Because he was asking Jesus the question to try and trick him. You know why? Because the Jews, in the Old Testament, there are 613 commandments that need to be obeyed. 613. And the guy knew. The Jews consider some more important than others. Some are small commandments, some are big. So he came to see, which one would Jesus say is the most important one? If he says this one, and I say, what about this? That was a trick. His mind was not a good mind. But when we see him, if he's in heaven, when you get there, look for him and shake his hand for us. Because by asking that question, he has helped us to know, to find the place where we must focus our energy when it comes to our relationship with God. Yeah. Because of him, Jesus now took 613 commandments and he made it simple to obey. Love. L-O-V-E. You want to obey the commandments? Love. Love. You want to obey the commandments? I don't know. I don't feel here. Let me come here. You want to obey the commandments? What do you do? Love. And you may think that it is that simple. It is not. Tell the older women to teach the younger women how to love. You must come to a school, Strong Christian Conference Academy. Yeah. And let Reverend Bismarck teach you how to love. Two people you must love. Love God. Love your neighbor. You see, I don't know whether we're going to love your neighbor. Because see, even love God is hard. Love your neighbor is also hard. How many that love your neighbor is very hard? Oh, yes. Some neighbors, you wonder whether they came from hell. Like, they were in hell before they brought them to the earth. You wonder. When you see the neighbor, you wonder. But Jesus said that if you want to obey, you want to obey the commandments. Look at it. I didn't even finish reading. Oh, why do you keep taking the scripture off the screen? 36. 37. 38. Continue going. Go. Look at this. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophet. When you say hang, do you understand it? You don't understand? Like hang a picture on hang. Hang it on the wall. You understand it? So the nail that you hang the picture on, that nail, it must be strong, firmly planted there for the thing to hang on. And it says that when the Jews say law and prophet, law means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Then prophets. Oh. So in essence, they are saying that the whole Old Testament, if you want to compress it into something you can obey, the thing that you can use to... I'm not saying the thing well. But Pastor Balfour, am I saying the thing well? Like that... That's it. It's love. If you can get the love to be right in its proper measure, its proper quantity. I don't think you understand what I'm preaching. And if you think about it deeply, you will see that actually it is hard to love God. So you must be taught it. So let's go, because we don't have time. Number one, write this one, number one. If you love the Lord, you are doing the most important thing. If you love the Lord, are you writing it? You are doing, what's your name? Huh? Huh? I'm not hearing it. What's your name? Who knows her name? Nobody knows her name. You know her name? Annette. That's your sister. Is that your sister? What's your name? Annette. And this is what? Annika. If you love the Lord, you are doing the most important thing. If you are a Christian girl, a Christian boy, and you love the Lord, you are doing the most important thing. If you are a Christian boy or Christian girl, listen to what I'm telling you. and you love the Lord, if you are looking for the best thing to do for God to be happy with you, it is to love the Lord. It is the most, and I'm saying the reason why he says that on it hang the law and the prophets, because if your love with God is right, in its right proportion, everything else, let's say, like for example, we say fornication, immorality, like sexual immorality. We would not be coming to the, all about, is it all about fornication? That's a book. I will teach you, if you fornicate, evil spirits will enter into your life. Is that not it? If you love the Lord, we will not need to talk to you about evil spirits entering into your life. I don't think I'm saying it well. Maybe you have heard this thing I'm telling you before, but you have not thought about it. But in this conference, I want you to think about it. Think about it. Because when we leave this conference, it becomes our homework. I told that every strong Christian conference, we come and take homework here, and we do it the whole year until we meet again. Last year, what was the homework for last year? Last year was what? Bag of seeds. How many of you have sown some seeds since last year? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. The year before was what? Malats. To escape. How many of you have escaped from some things since last 2 years? You have escaped lying. Eh? You have escaped secular music. Or was it last year that I had the earphones around my neck? Or last 2 years? It was Malat. Malat, I had the earphones. I saw some picture with the earphones around my neck. Or was last year? Malat. Yeah. Secular music, you leave it. You escape from it. The year before was what? Dioko. To follow after. Aish. And then the first year was what? Yeah, but there was a theme. Are you really my... How many of you, your quiet time has improved since then? Your quiet time has become better. Some of you have not changed. Some of you are not changing. I can tell. Are you even my friend? Are you even my friend? Then the next year, to follow after Dioko. Then the next year, escape. Malat. Then the year after, bag of seeds. Some of you have all the shirts hung in the nicely displayed there too. And you see that the reason why we made the shirts. This shirt is not by force. If you like, you don't buy. If you like, it's not a registration fee. But the reason why we buy the shirts is because it helps us to remember what God told us when we came for the conference. Yeah. When you wear it, the day when you wear it, Love, no. And that's what we're talking about here. To love the Lord. Young boys and young girls, that's all. Love the Lord. You are doing the most important thing. Have you written it down? It is the most important thing. It is the most important. Number two. And we will go on break. If you love the Lord, it is the proper response to God's love. I like this one. So this one, we'll stay on it for some time. 1 John 4:19. Because many of us, the reason why your safe teachers are struggling in the church is because you don't love the Lord. And let me announce to you, there is nothing like love that is half when it comes to God. Why? Because of what he says. Look at verse 38 or 37. You leave this one and go back to the previous verse. Don't sleep, oh. I've almost finished preaching. The scriptures are coming slowly. Why? Is there a problem? And he said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Number one, write it in your notebook. The way to love God is with all. The only way to love God is with all. Write it like that in your book. The only way, are you here? Are you writing? Those of you are, hey, sister. Danny Hunse. Ah, I understand. Nyankopon do. Is that not it? Nyankopon do. Say we bet do nyankopon. Remember this man. Say you are an account. So if the account is not working, and you are a gun. I forgot. It's about for who is an account. Yeah, you bar for that's about Nana bar or say bar for bar for wa. Is it bar for wa or bar for answer? Bar for or say bar for answer. This is a real Ashanti. He doesn't even have an English name. Oh, you have an English name. The English name is bar for. Se obe don yankopon a. Unt min don yankopon afa ni afa. Is that correct? It's like girls, you know, if you're a girl, those of you are girls who are trying to grow up one day and get married, some girls have already designed their wedding dress as they are in JHS 3. They have designed their wedding dress. Yeah. And when you hear they say, cheat on me. Even JHS girls have cheat on me. I don't know where they get it, but he's cheating on me. The only reason why cheating on you. What's the problem? If you are a girl, there's a boy, he has a big heart. So he loves this girl, Angela, and then he also loves Selena. Then you, Angela, no, you are annoyed. That's why does sharing is caring. Eh? But why does he love me and love Selena at the same time? And so when you hear that he has taken Selena out, then you say he's cheating on me. Why? Because even you, as you are there, what you want is all. You want all. God too wants all. He sent me here to tell you that he wants all. I'm telling you that, and the reason why, listen, many of the problems with grown-up Christians in the church is this particular thing. What do we do conventions for? What do we have conventions for? Breakthrough, healing, deliverance. The miracles, Campono, it's mostly about money. It's mostly when you do convention, when you go round, it is in the end. Huh? It comes down to this. But God, the Bible says every good and every perfect gift comes from above. Is it no, there is nobody who has anything except it is given to him from above. So if somebody has money, who has given it to him? Uh-huh. So if you love the person who has the money, I mean, it's like if this man is a very rich man and I'm his friend and body, and we flow. What do you think? That's not the problem. It's not a problem about it. I don't even have to ask him for money. No. We are tight. I'm always with him in his house. We are chatting. He's going to the mall. Charlie, I'll go with you. He's doing outdooring. I'm there. My white. You think I will not benefit from the money that he has? I will benefit. And many grown-ups, the reason why they are not benefiting from God is because they are not loving with all. That's why I have come here. We have come here so that from now onwards, we can begin to practice love with all. Can you imagine if you have been able to do from when you are 14 years old? So you are 30. What will you before you even ask? Jesus, some of the miracles he says that were very fantastic. He didn't ask, he didn't pray. Yeah. So now you pray, you know, I don't have to pray this prayer. But for these guys, there are benefits. Let me just say something. Lazarus, have you seen a dead man who has died for 4 days and is always almost rotten before, and then you just call him? It's not prayer warriors. Come on, yes. No, did you read the Bible and see whether that's what Jesus did? In fact, when the guy was sick, It is, which one is easier? Healing a sick person or raising a dead person? Which one is easier? They told him that Lazarus was sick. You know what he's so the disciples said, oh, let's go now. Let's go and see him. So no. Let's wait some more. So he waited for 4 days. Then they came and told him, okay, now he's dead. Now he said, let's go. Let's go. Now that he's dead, let's go. The Bible says that because he himself knew what he would do. Like he knows, he knew what he was going to do. Let's go now. And when he got there, because raising a dead person who died a few minutes ago, that one we can try. After a few, But a dead person who has been dead for 4 days, like, you see, his spirit has gone. You see, you know, when a person dies, the spirit comes out. So if the person dies a few minutes ago, the spirit may still be working around, so you can call him to come back into their body. But this one, the spirit has... He's gone. He won't even hear you when you call him to come back. The man comes. People are crying and screaming. So, because God, who made the man and put the spirit in him, he and God, they have a love relationship. They have a love relationship. When I know that you hear me always, the way, because of the love that we have between us, because of the love that is between, I know that the love that we have, I know it makes you hear me always. So just let Lazarus return. And it came. No convention, no bringing a man from Galilee or Nazareth or Samaria, somewhere far away, to a special, no. And I prophesy to you, if after this conference, you can straighten your love relationship with God. And that's why I say, we have come here to learn it. How do we love God? But first of all, I want to convince you that if you love the Lord, it is the most important. That is what you must be doing with your life. You must live your life as a Christian just to love the Lord. Am I boring you? Is it boring to you what I'm taking? Is it boring to you? Maybe Reverend Bismarck will come and preach better. He's from Asoka. Maybe he's... Yes. But number two is that if you love the Lord, it is the proper response to God's love. That's number two. Proper. There is nothing more painful that you are in love. You have a crush on them. When I was in primary school, I had a crush on some girl. Fine girl. Hey, fine and smart. But why is it only Reverend Bismarck who's saying age? Like the rest of you, as if you don't understand what I'm saying. The JHS people and this thing, SHR, like they have... Hey! Oh, smarto. Smart, fine, smart girl. And in those days, I used to be chop first. So when I chop first, then she'll chop second. Or she'll chop third. So you can see how smart, fine girl. So then when I got to class 5, after class 5, when they were going to class 6, I left the school. And then I went to another school. I promoted myself to JHS 1. So I jumped class 6 myself. I myself. So I'll be there. And you know that thing? Yeah. Like butterfly. You know, it's like something is moving inside your stomach or something. So... there was some small boy in our area who used to go, and then it was a vacation time, and then they would be going for classes. So I would write a note, and I'll give it to the small boy. Then he'll go and give it to the girl in school. You have done some before. Say you have done some before. JHS, SHS, they have all done some before. Then she'll reply. So sometimes when I send a note, they say, if I send it today, maybe like tomorrow, I'm expecting a reply because the boy will come back from school. Then she'll reply. Then I will. Then when you're reading this card, like, oh, Charlie. Paper, what's up? Then I will write. Then I'll send it to the boy. The boy will go and give it to the girl. Are you in the church? I'm talking about proper response to God's love. Don't become confused. Then One, two. Then I replied one note. And then as I was talking to her about how she's a very nice person, a very nice, you know, there's some people, they are beautiful, but they are not nice. Yeah. Like when you talk to them, you have some way. Proud, arrogant, whatever. But she was not like that. She was a very, she was fine girl, and then she was nice to talk to. I said, the way she's nice and she's smart and thing, if I say I like her, it will not describe it well. So I said, I love you. Hey! Everybody say, hey! I gave the note to the boy. The boy took the note to the girl. Day one, no reply. Day two, no reply. Day three, no reply. So I was wondering, out of it. Then my father had traveled. Then he, when he came back, he said that, oh, we are leaving Accra. We are going to live in the water region. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, no reply, no reply, no reply. Then we pack our things. I couldn't even tell her that we were going. We pack our things. We went to live in the water region. How many say, oh. How many imagine how I was feeling as I went to the water region there? So I'll be there, and then I'll just remember her, then I'll be there. You know those days we used to have class picture. I don't know whether you will still do it. Like every our day, like class one our day, we'll third term, then we'll take class picture. Then class two our day, third term, we'll take. Sister. So I'll be looking at the class pictures. Then I'll see her inside the class picture. I said, now I'm here. She doesn't know my address. She asked, there's no small boy. How am I going to even know? So, while I was in the water region, are you hearing my story? While I was in the water region, I remembered that, okay, I had some other friends, some guys. So I wrote a letter to them from my new place, that I've come to here, I'm in JHS 2 here, everything's fine, the school is nice, everything is okay, I'm checking, how are you doing over there? Then they replied, that, oh, everything's cool, we have everything. Then, I was there. Then I got a letter. And guess who it was from? Finally, the response came. But the response came. And I read the letter, oh, you know, this, you know how those days we used to write? I'm very happy to write this beautiful letter. The brightness of the day has given me the whatever I had. No, now you don't do those things anymore, but those times, that's how we used to do it. So I read the thing. Then she came to now explain to me why she didn't reply that last note. She said when she saw the word love, she became afraid. I'll preach about it. When she saw love, she became afraid. So she didn't reply. So she explained. So I replied and I said, I am sorry. I didn't mean it like that. You know, I just meant that, like, you know, like, I like you. You are a very nice person. You know, so from now onwards, I will not say love again. I will not use that word again. The letter, every letter I write to you to be normal, no more love, anything at all in it. I'll just, whatever. And I resent it. Then she replied again. Hey! Everybody say, hey, before I tell you what was in the letter, let me tell you. Now she said, I'm very happy to hear from you. This. Then when she finished the letter, you know, the letter at the end, you have to sign off. Then she wrote, yours perpetually. Then she drew the thing. So, you know, I didn't know the meaning of the word perpetually. Those days, and the only time I was hearing that word perpetually was, in those times, like my time when I was in primary school, when it is 6th March, the president, there's a place in Accra called the Perpetual Flame. You know, it's around the Jubilee House there. It's a perpetual flame. So they will say, okay, the president's now about to light the perpetual flame. So they will give him a torch with fire on it. Then he will go and stand there by the door. I mean, people will play, pa, 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 you know, Then you light, boom. Then it's like, that's the perpetual. So I used to hear, but I never, because I don't care about perpetual flame, I never look in the dictionary to see the meaning of the word perpetual. But when I saw the word perpetual in the letter, I said, no, where's my dictionary? So I opened the dictionary and I saw the perpetual means forever. So now put it back into the, it's the yours perpetually. Hey! Yours forever. Now I became afraid. Now I became afraid. Hey, this small play we are playing. Small play we are playing. We are playing small, small. Yours forever. It's like you, the girl said she's mine. I didn't reply again. I stopped replying. Hey! God is expecting that the love with which he has loved you, you will reply with him a similar reply. And here, look at the scripture, 1 John 4:19. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. The whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation is a story of love. It's a story of love. You see, you also stop watching what love took away from me. All these other things I've been watching on TV. You have to, if you want to know the most fantastic, in fact, none of the stories you have been watching is as fantastic as the one in the Bible. No, it's not at all. From Genesis to Revelation, you are looking at a book, a love, a deep, it's so deep. Yeah. The reason why man was created, first of all, was because of love. It was because of love. God was looking, there's a book I read, I've told you this before, you should find it and read it. There's a book called The Fall of Lucifer. It's written like a storybook. But I feel that there's some prophetic to it. You should read it. When you read it, how you feel about God will change. In the book, in the story, am I preaching well or not preaching well? God, the Father, was in heaven with the Word, which we know that is just Jesus. And then the angels were there, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. And Lucifer was the oldest of them. I'm telling you, it's a story from the book. Are you paying attention to what I'm preaching to you? I'm saying that God was the one who loved you. And the way God loves you is with all. The proper response you must give back to that love is also with all. I'm not preaching well. So one day, God the Father, he called Lucifer and said, look, you know, come, I want to tell you something. I want to create something. It's okay. Create something. It will be alive. It's okay. I'll call him man. It's okay. He will be like me. It's okay. Look like you. He will be able to reproduce like how I can also reproduce. Then Lucifer became angry. Because in the book, according to the story, the angels you know how angels are. They are spiritual, supernatural, powerful beings. The bodies of the angels were not, you couldn't hold it like this. In the book, they call our body matter. Say our bodies are made of matter. You know matter, what they teach you in school? But anything that has weight and can occupy space, has mass and occupy space, that's matter. So our bodies are made, but the angels, their bodies are not made of matter. Their bodies are made of something they call essence. You can't hold it. You can't, but he can be there. You can see him that he's here. But if he needs to go through here, he will just pass through the wall because his body is not made of matter. Matter will stop matter from going through. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yeah. So God said, his body will be made of matter. And matter is so fragile. You can damage it. But the thing that annoyed Lucifer I'm talking about the story. It's not Bible. It's a story. It's in a book. Was that God, the one difference that God put in the man was that the man was made to have the power to bear fruit like God was able to bear fruit. And the angels didn't have it. Lucifer was upset. It made him go mad. You want to say somebody was mad? You should read the, you read the book yourself. You will see it. He will be in his palace. Does he open the windows? All his plants grew. The whole house, the whole palace became grown with, you know how it's like a castle that has been abandoned, plant trees, the trees all grow all over the place. That's how the place became. Dark! When the other angels come to him, he's talking to them, bitterness. Am I saying something bad? But the way I'm quiet. And that began the plan, Lucifer's plan to spoil the. But what God in the book, in the story, God said that he was looking for somebody, angels are, yeah, they're, but he was looking for somebody who was like him so that he can talk to, like, in other words, God wanted to talk to himself. So he made man to be like him, somebody who can understand him. It's amazing as I'm even saying it. So that when I'm talking to him, he understands, like, I have feelings. And he has feelings. So when I say I feel sad, this one can understand it. He can feel the way I feel. Wow. Wow. That began it. And Satan, at that time, he saw it. So he said, I will spoil this thing. But look at this. The day the problem came, that day, God solved it. You don't read your Bibles, or you read your Bibles. That's what I said to you, read your Bible. You see, quiet time is not for, it's not for your teacher to check. It is to understand this great story of love. This great story of love. When God came into the garden that day, he asked Eve, what have you done? Because he knew, like, you have spoiled the thing, the original plan. Why? Because once sin came, the relationship between the man and God, it changed. Now, God, who was man's lover, when he comes to the garden, the man is hiding. How do you hide away from the one you are in love with? How do you hide? But he was hiding. He was now hiding. That same day, God said, I will fix this. So he said, look, the seed, your seed, that's how I'm going to solve the problem. Some years later, you are going to give birth to the Word, which will become flesh. And that will come and fix the quarrel between me and you. So you take it from that point all the way until Jesus comes. All that time, from all the prophets who came, the things they brought, their laws, whatever it is. This is God trying at every point to try and fix, bring sheep to the temple, sacrifice. It's like, I don't want us to be quarreling all the time. So when you do something I'm not happy about, bring sheep, let's settle it. I don't think I'm preaching well this morning. It's God who said, come, let us reason together. How can God be calling a small human being? The Bible says that the earth is God's throne, and then the heaven is God's throne is heaven, and then the earth is his footstool. Like, footstool is when you sit down and you put the small stool, something you put your foot on. If God's foot is on the earth, his foot on, you can imagine how big God is. Like, when God sits down, his foot, the earth is what he puts his foot on it. But that huge God calls, Reverend Mason said, come. You know, you did something yesterday. I was not very happy about it. You know me. You see, the wages of sin is death. So, you know, the way you did this thing yesterday, I should have killed you by now. But, you know, I've just left it. Come. Okay. This morning around 9 a.m., I'll be available. That's why we wake up and do flow prayer meeting. Yeah. Say, at 4 a.m., I'll be available. Tuesday, 4 a.m. come and let us discuss this thing you did. I'm not very happy about it. You know me. I'm not like I've killed you. Because the way I did, you know, Pharaoh, what I did to Pharaoh, you still remember it.
Yeah.
See, you should not forget it. Uh-huh. He and his army all into the whatever. So, yeah. So, 4 a.m. Tuesday. If you're not able to come on Tuesday, Friday, I'll also be available. 4 a.m. Like, what? If you are God, what are you doing with this Fianga guy? So the proper way is that somebody loves you. What do you do back? You love them back. Me, one of the things I have been afraid of since my childhood is a girl. Remember this, man. A girl who has a crush on me. I'm afraid of such people. Because the way I was, I don't know that I have changed, but the way I was, I felt that. It will be painful that somebody loves you and you don't love them back. So with my JSS, I used to quarrel with the girls. Like every girl, we're always quarreling. You know? You come and see me, we are fighting. The fighting is not that, it's just that I don't want us, like tomorrow you come and say that, oh, like I like this boy. You always, with any small thing, we'll quarrel about it. So that I don't want that thing. Because I felt that it is right. It is fair. That if a girl likes you, you must like her back. And I don't want to be liking girls in JSS, this thing. So we'll just be quarreling all the time. Then there'll be no love between us. If somebody likes you, you must like them back. It is the proper, or not the proper response. The proper response. We love him. Why? I want to show you 7 negative responses that we are giving to God's love. 7. Number 1. Yeah, negative responses. Instead of responding properly, we are responding negatively. And if you see yourself in any of them, what do? You have 1 year to do this homework. And fix it. Number 1. Taking his love for granted. Taking his love for granted. And one of the main ways that we take God's love for granted is by disobedience. Yeah? Taking the love, somebody loves you, you can take it for granted. What it means is that you know the person loves you. Do you understand it? You know it. You like it. Instead of loving them back, you do things that are painful to the person. Because like, he can't leave me. And that's how a lot of Christian wives, you know, Christian wives. That's why they told the guy, let the older women teach the younger women to love their husbands. You got Christian wives. But I prophesy over you that you will be good Christian wives. Amen. Only those who are saying the amen is becoming. I said, I prophesy over you that you'll be good Christian wives. You are taking it for granted. You don't say thank you anymore. It's like the things that should mean something to you don't mean anything to you. Saul, King Saul, one of the, you know, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, you see when Samuel met Saul on the way as he was looking for his father's donkeys. And God had told him that he should go and find the guy and anoint him king over Israel. And when, verse 1, when Prophet Samuel met Saul, he said to him, is this not because the Lord has anointed thee? He said, and then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. In other words, someone was trying to explain to Saul that what is happening to you right now is such a great thing. Because the guy was walking around looking for his father. They said, that nothing. Do you know? Not today. Today they say king. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything because even the king can't even say anything. Those when they say king, how many of you have watched 300 before? 300, the 300 Spartans. Oh, how many? You guys don't watch proper scene. You see, I'm watching all this type of what love took away from me, type of foolish things. It's an old movie, but find it and watch it. It's called, the movie is titled 300. 300. And it's not Tolio. It's historical. It's a movie about 300 soldiers that came against the armies of Artaxerxes. You know the guy who was King Esther's husband? That king, yes, that guy. He fought 300 soldiers. He suffered. He came with thousands of soldiers. Weapons, thousands of soldiers, and he came against 300 men. He suffered. He suffered. When they say again, in those days, Hexus was the king of the whole world. He had conquered many kingdoms. So when they come and say, the king says, that's why Esther said, Mordecai, you are my anchor. I know that, but you cannot send me to go to that man's palace when he has not called me to come. They will cut my head off. That was the kind of person that God had chosen Saul to be. Have you seen that? It was such a high thing. It was such a high thing. For God to show love to an ordinary somebody. You're not anybody. You're not anybody. He's not the strongest. He was only the tallest and handsome. That's all. Handsome and tall. That's all. But he was not anything special. His father was not the richest man in Israel at that time. He was looking for his father's few sheep. What do you call it? Donkeys that were missing. Ordinary human being walking about, like us who are ordinary people who are walking about, God comes and says, I have made you priests and kings. But what does Saul do? Am I still with you? Yeah. What does Saul do? God calls him once and said, go to a place. I'm giving you an instruction. When somebody loves you and you love them back, you do what? You see, in fact, love is such that it has the power. Hey, Charlie. You see, haven't you heard they say that somebody sang a song, or don't man nipper Jimmy, won't say that. I've not heard it before. They were born, they don't know it. But even you, and think about it, a girl who is jumping over a wall to go and see a boy, you ask yourself whether, like, at that particular moment, is your brain working? It's not the boy, it's the girl has jumped over a wall. Is your brain working? You ask yourself whether your brain is working. Because what it is that when you love somebody, all you want to do is what they like, what makes them happy. So when God calls Saul and now says, go here and do this for me, and Saul goes there and does something different. You remember that story? Or you don't remember that story? Hey, self-church people don't know the story again, or who knows the story? Yeah? Who knows the story? Yeah? Yeah, or they don't know the story? Where am I smart? Hey, show me. 1 Samuel 15, I think. You don't know the story of how God sent Saul to go and kill the Amalekites and kill their king, kill the animals, burn the city down, kill everybody. You know the story? How many of you know the story now? Still are here, their hands are not going out. Or they just joined the church. They are in K church, so they don't know it yet. Their teacher has not taught them yet. When I was in JSS, you know, the school I went to in the Buta region, you know, they speak away. So sometimes, and they, you know, JSS, you build on what you have learned as you go along. So sometimes the teacher will come to class and say, you know, so we are teaching, you're learning this, and what you learned in JSS 1. Then the people will say, have you learned it? How can we don't know it? Then they'll say it in Ewe. Teacher me fiami gohao. It means teacher has not even taught us. Meanwhile, they have a notebook and the notes are in it. No. Why don't you know it? Teacher has not yet, he has not even taught us. But when you check the notebooks, they have done exam on it. They have done exam on it. He has not taught us. Yeah, that's what you are doing. Look at what Samuel even says. That you like, God sent me to anoint you over his whole house. He went, he killed the people, he took the king, he didn't kill him, he brought the king. Then he brought animals, sheep and goats. When Samuel came and saw him, he said, I hear bleating. What is this bleating I am hearing? Didn't God say you should kill everybody? What is this bleating I am hearing? He said, oh, it's not me. The people who are with me said that they wanted to bring the animals to sacrifice to God. That's taking God's love for granted. Because what Saul did not know was that that King Agag, he was the descendant of Haman, the guy who wanted to destroy the Jews in Mordecai's time. Yeah, because he left him alive for that short time, it was able to bring children that will result in Haman sometime later. When God loves you, proper response is obedience. What we do is we disobey God. That's what I'm telling you. That the problems grown-ups have in the church, you will not have them if your love is proper. Number two. Negative responses. Number two. Being afraid. Being afraid. One of the responses people also have for love is that they are afraid of losing. You see, being afraid of losing the love one day. Yeah. That's why you see that, if you see all these Ghana movies, Nigerian movies where somebody has a husband and the husband is chasing another girl, what do you normally see happen? The woman goes to go and fight with the other woman. That's what it is. Why? Because they are afraid of losing the husband that they have. Yeah. And you see it. Parable of the talents. I don't really know that parable. These are all things you should know. Save church. The teachers, are you seeing what is going on? You should see. If I say story of Saul and Amalekites and everything, I don't see the hands are here. If your church, safe teachers, if your children are on this side, be looking at it well, because it means that we have not taught them go how. We have not taught them. We have not yet taught them. Yeah, and correct it. This one too is also important. The one I'm just saying right now. The parable of the talents. Who knows the parable of the talents? There are two of them. There is one in Matthew and there is one in Luke. Who can tell me what the difference is between the two? Just one difference, and then it's once on your reason, I'll give you yogurt. This side, as you come to this side. Oh, this side, will you know it? Parable of the talents. Matthew 25, Luke 19. They are similar, but there's a difference. Who knows? Shabaya. Safe teachers. Are you seeing the thing I'm showing you? Are you seeing it? So you see, if it's a giant, and correct it. But I'll tell you. So listen to me very carefully. So when you say, I learned it at Strong Christian Conference. So the two stories are similar, but here's the difference. In the Matthew 25, 1, a man travels. Pay attention. A man travels and he calls three servants. Don't put it on the screen. It will be confusing. Let them listen to what I'm saying. A man travels and he calls three servants. And the three servants he calls, he gives them talents. The talent is money. It's talents, money. It's later on that the word talent has turned into like something special you can do or a gift or whatever. In the story in the Bible, what he gave them was money. The Bible says that to the first person, he gave him five. Pay attention, oh. This is Matthew, the Matthew 1. Three servants, one man traveling, three servants. He gave one 5 talents, gave the second one 2 talents, gave the third one 1. Are you still following the story? Are you following the story? He went, he came back, he called them and found out to find out what they had done. The first one who was given 5 worked and got 5 more. The second one got 2, now he now had 10. Do you understand it? Second one had 2 more and now had 4. And the last one dug the ground, put the talent inside it. When the master came, he came, took it out of the ground and gave it to the master. And it was not easy for him at all. Now, so this is the end of the Matthew 25 one. Luke 19. A man was going to a far country to go and receive a kingdom. When he went, he came back. He got a kingdom. When he was going, he called 10 servants and gave each of them £1. The first one, when he came back, brought him £10. So you see the difference is that 5, 2, and 1 in Matthew 25. But in Luke 19, 10 servants were given 1, 1, 1 each. And then when he came, he called only 3. Only 3 servants gave accounts in the Luke. They came. 1, 10. He gave 10. I got 10. The other one, I got 5. The other one, he put it in a handkerchief. Matthew put it in the ground. But the Luke guy put it in a handkerchief, wrapped it in a handkerchief. And when the master came, he gave it to him. Now look, let's look at what the nonsense that the two guys who had 1-1 in the 2 stories, look at the nonsense that they were saying. So let's look at Matthew 25. Say, so for 14, 15, 16, 17, start going until you find the place. Are you learning something? So look at it. In case you didn't know, now you know that. No. Oh, go. Keep going until you find it. Go. Keep going until we get to where the guy starts talking. But just go down to the place and find it. Why are you doing 1-1-1-1? Yeah. So the verse before, what was the verse before? It's 24. Look at it. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. This is a nonsense. That's what we do to God's love. Because if somebody has money and he's going somewhere and he gives you some, even if you say, change the translation to like NLT. Listen to the nonsense he was saying. Verse 24. Then the servant with the 1 bag of gold came and said, Sir, I know you are a hard man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid of losing it. I was afraid I would lose it. Many of us, that's how we respond to God's love. You're afraid. Am I saying something good? Yeah. And if you are afraid, it's fear makes you behave like a crazy person. Oh, you know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. Yeah. That's why it doesn't make sense. That you will go and meet somebody in town and start fighting with the person in town over your husband that you say the person is trying to steal, and they will take your wig off and they will tear your dress. When you are passing by, you will be wondering, like, what are 2 educated women? 2 educated women in town by the roadside, what are they doing? Tearing each other's clothes. Because when you are afraid, you do crazy things. That's what the guy did. I was afraid of it. I couldn't love you back. So you become suspicious. You are wondering whether is God even hearing my prayer or not. So what does it do? You don't pray at all. You don't even come. You don't come. He's looking. Come away. Come away. He's the one who's now asking, come and spend some time with me. But it's like, no, I'm not sure. I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid. I don't know what mistake I will make, and then you'll be annoyed with me. Number three. Is my time finished? I should continue preaching. Hey. The next one, number three. Accusing the lover. Negative responses to God's love. You accuse God. Look at it. So in Matthew, you see the Matthew 1, the 25, 20, see what he said. You see what he said. Verse 24, I know you are a hard person. You are always trying to reap where you have not sown. Crops that you have not cultivated, you want those crops. Yeah, and sometimes that's how we also behave towards God. Yeah. Look, let me tell something, young people. Don't ever say God has not done for you. God, don't say that. One of my friends was talking to me last Sunday. He was talking about how maybe like she has prayed, says she's been praying to God about some things. And she has prayed to God about those things. God hasn't answered. So right now, how she and God relates is that if he will do, he will do. If he won't do too, he won't do. We are there. Yeah. If you accuse God of not answering your prayer or not doing something, because I'll tell you something, this life that you are in, you will see a lot of these kinds of things. Oh, yes. Somebody is ill. We are believing God. Pastors have prayed for him, prayed for her. We have had all night. We have gone to God. We have opened the scriptures. We have declared it. The person still died. You see a lot of young people walking around the world who are saying that this God thing is a scam. Because when we needed him the most, he didn't come. And what it does, that you start to accuse him. You cannot trust this God. This lover. No. Your behavior towards him will change. But that's not it. Am I speaking well? Maybe Reverend Bismarck will come and explain it well when he comes. Yeah. He loves you. He loves you. What do you respond back? You love him back. And we're going to talk about it throughout the conference. What are the ways we can love God back? What are the ways we can prove that we love him back? Brother, I'm showing you that your mind must be all your Christian life. You must focus on what are the things I can do. That loving God is the most. I'm telling you, if you can put your relationship. Look, what has helped me to survive as a Christian is this. It's this. Because you see, I didn't go to Sunday school. I didn't like Sunday school. Sunday school, we used to go to a different church every Sunday. Me and my friends in the area. So on Saturday, we meet. We used to play football together. Sunday, we meet. Okay, tomorrow, why are we going to church? You know, and you know how when we are growing, everybody's mother has a church. So your mother's church, your mother's church. So I had my mother's church. Then I had a friend across from our house, across the street. They were Methodists. Then the landlord in our house and his children also were Catholics. They said they were Catholics, but they're not going to church one by Catholics. We take it like that, they're Catholics. So when we Saturday we meet, then we say, okay, tomorrow is Sunday, where are we going to church? Then they will say, let's go to Methodist. So Sunday we'll dress up, then we'll go to Methodist. Then when we next week Sunday, Saturday, we meet again and say, tomorrow we're going to church. So today let's go to Catholic. But me, my church, my mother's church, they speak away there. And the guys were not always. So they didn't come to my church. So we used to go to, so sometimes I'll go with my mother to church. Then I'll go to Methodist. Then I'll go to Catholic. That's what we used to do, rotating like that through the churches. And I remember the Catholic church, when we enter the Sunday school, we enter through one door like this. Then we come out of another door. You know how Catholic churches, they have school and park, football park. So while church is going on in the main church, we are playing football on the park. A lie. It was a church. So all these things that you are doing, you know, the things they teach you, I'm talking about Samuel and Saul, whatever. Teachers are coming to church every Sunday. They are teaching you the stories. Sunday teaches the stories. And some people say they are tired of hearing the same stories. Even when I ask, you don't know it, but you say you are tired of hearing it. I hope you are, don't teach them again. They don't remember it. But one day after JHS, I became born again. God brought his love. He loved me. And I didn't know, but I felt that if he loved me, my normal response must be to love him back. So, I began to look in the Bible. To read it. Look, from that time until now, I don't know about you, but you see, when I come to Strong Christian Conference and I'm talking to you about the Bible, you will see that it is a book I love to read it. It surprises me. It's a nice book. It's a nice, you know, I have been having my quiet time from this talent, these two talents, March, April, like about 1 month, I have been looking at these guys, especially the guy with the one talent, especially him. I read it every day again and again, the same story again. Maybe I understand something more. Because for me, I understand that all of these things, if the whole book is a book of love, is a love story, then the different things God says to us, they are like the love notes that I was writing to that girl in some time. When you see something like, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, you are seeing a love note that is written to you. Something to explain to you something, how the person who is loving you feels. And I was, in the words I read, the words, they were nice to me. Am I talking to myself? No. That's why I read my Bible. Yeah. That's where I will understand how God has loved me. And I'll tell you something. The less and less and less you read your Bible, then less and less and less you even understand how deep God's love for you is. And it will affect your behavior. This guy did not know that the giving of the talent to him was a demonstration of love. He did not understand it that way. So what do you do? Say, you're always hard man. Always give something, you have not planted, you are trying to reap something you have not planted. Hey! Today, as people are doing business, if they can get somebody to give them money, they call it jetri, is that not it? Jetri. Capital, is it? Yes. If somebody is going to a far country, he has given you capital, and then when he comes back to you to ask you, you are telling him, this is what you are telling him. I know you. You are a hard person. That's how you are. Always trying to get profit where you have not planted. Did he not give you the money? Did he not give it to you? Even some people, something they call work and pay. Have you heard it before? Yeah, work and pay. It's like I if it's a car or something, I buy the car for you with my money and I give it to you. And you'll be working and be giving me sales. Then after a while, you can keep the car. It is very difficult to buy a car yourself if you're a driver. It's hard though. So somebody has taken his plenty money and he can buy that car for you. 1, 2, 3, accident, the car is spot. You will just come out of the car and walk away. It is his debt. So when he has taken his money and given it to you, you are telling him, when he has snatched you from hell, your response to him that, every time, let's go for prayer meeting, every time, you are too demanding. Every morning, every Tuesday, flow prayer. You want me to come and have my quiet time every day? Every day we should come and quiet time. What I thought should we do for you again? We should go to church every Sunday. Every Sunday we should go to church. That's what you're telling God. That's why some of you, the way you are, your Christian life is not. That's the meaning. That's the meaning. It's too much. It's too much. Quiet time every morning is too much. Pray in the morning every morning is too much. Go to church every Sunday. It's too. Join the choir. Have rehearsals. It's too much. Rehearsals. Too. Why? Why? Hey. Hey. It's too much. You are worrying us. That's why some worry. Work about in the church. They come. Don't come. Don't come. Come. Don't come. Don't come. Don't come. Don't come. Come. Don't come. And sometimes, as if you are doing the pastor a favor. What you are doing is that the lover who has loved you with his best. With his best, you are throwing the love back in his face. Yeah, and your behavior is a clear accusation. You just don't know it. That's why I try. You see, sometimes I come here. Look, let me tell the truth. Sometimes when you hear me when I'm preaching, when I say maybe I'm not making sense or I'm not preaching, no, genuinely, that's how I feel. It's not something I say to help my preaching. Sometimes I feel that all the talking I am talking as I am preaching here is not doing anything. Yeah, that's how I feel. That it's not having, I feel that maybe I'm wasting my time and wasting your time. That's how I feel genuinely. Sometimes when I say it, that's how I feel, that it's not doing anything. But you know why I keep doing it every year? 5 years. Check and see how many people can be doing something, the same thing for 5 years. Every year, I must find a theme. Even these t-shirt designs that you wear, look, it's not magic. It is a project to get a design. I mean, the t-shirt is not nice. Yeah. All of them, apart from the first one that we only had SEC on, in the front here. My favorite shirt is Dioko. That's it. Beautiful shirt. And you know, I know, one of the things that sometimes when I'm working, one of the things that encourages me, the shirt I have met in town the most is Dioko. I don't know how come, but like I've seen Dioko in strange places. And when I see it, I become encouraged. That maybe. And Jason has been coming for the past 5 years, so that one too also encourages me. That maybe they may be quiet, sitting down here quietly. They're not paying, they don't know that they're understanding you, they're not understanding you, but maybe it's doing something. Do you understand it? But for me, I feel that my mouth can talk. My mouth can talk. I can hold a microphone. I can take a scripture and explain it for a young person to try and understand it. That's my response to God's love. That's why I keep doing it. Every year. Every year. Every year. Yes. Yes. And you know, may not know, but it also involves money. That's when we are giving the offering at the SEC. Give a good offering. It involves money. It's like we spend money to do the thing that we are doing. So give a good offering also. But that's it. You too, what will be, when you wake up in the morning and you kneel down by your bed and you say, Father, thank you for all the good you have done to me. It's a demonstration of your love. It's your love response. When you open your Bible in the morning and you just want to look through and to see look, can you imagine how I felt when I wrote a letter to that girl and the girl didn't reply? Can you imagine weeks and weeks and weeks? I start to ask my, does she not like me? Like, I like her. Did I say something bad? Like, it's like, oh. Reverend Miss Mark said that. He wrote a note to some girl. The girl just gave a note to her mother. They are finished. Hey! How I felt. So when I finally got a letter from her, it was from her. You can imagine how. You know that kind of letter, you don't open it immediately. You wait and go home because they shared the letter in school. The school address I used. So the letter came. So I wait. You put it in your school bag and wait. You go home, you bath, you eat, you bath everything, do all your house chores. The letter is still under your pillow somewhere. Do everything. Then you now lie down and open it. You want to see what the girl is saying. You want to see what the girl is saying. And when I saw yours perpetually, oh, the girl said, she's mine forever. She's mine forever. Yours perpetually. That's what God is looking for also. Your prayer times are your response to his letter. you're looking in your Bible during quiet time is to see whether he has replied. Has he replied? When you pray to God, you are sending your note. When you read your Bible, you are looking for the reply. What is he saying to me? What is he saying to me this morning? What is God's reply to my note this morning? That the whole thing is a laugh thing. That's why I showed you in the first Strong Christian Conference. Are you even my friend? Because your response, a friend, if you are the person's friend, you will want to know what they have to say. You would want to know. Why would you not want to know? Why don't you want to know? Ask the boys, the people who are about to get married, who have beloved, they are walking about the place. You can get the number of text messages that they send to each other every day. I said, I called your number, I was busy. I called your number, I was busy. I called your number, why? Who are you talking to? It's as if, when you, like, it's as if when they become your beloved, your phone only is for only them now. It's like, only their phone call has come through. Hey! So your behavior is an accusation. You don't go to church regularly. It's like you go to church, but you're not in a choir or dancing stars, or you don't join anything. You are in a choir, or you don't come for rehearsals. It's an accusation that God is expecting too much. Next one, so I can go on lunch break. Number four, being unfaithful and presuming on the forgiveness of your lover. It's another response. Being unfaithful and presuming on the forgiveness of your lover. Look at Romans 6. Romans 6, 1. You see, another response is that you you see, the first one is that you are taking it for granted, though. Like, you know, the person loves you, the person won't stop loving you, so you do anything you like. That's one. But this one is like, this one too is it's similar. But this one, you are unfaithful. You don't stay with that person, that lover. You are going around. That's why those of you still have secular music on your phones, or you are still listening to them small. You are an unfaithful lover. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. Shall we continue? Just because we know that God loves us, and God loves you. God loves you. God has made up his mind about you, that he will love you. He loves you. He won't change his mind. Then he says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin, we have left sin and come to Jesus Christ, how shall we continue to go back into it again? When you keep going back into sin, it's a demonstration of unfaithfulness and taking for granted the person's forgiveness. And that's what people do. I'm sorry, baby, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. But you see that tomorrow we're doing it again. Because why? Because he's this is your baby. He's madly in love with you. He cannot, whatever. So every time, the thing I say I don't like, that's what you're going to do. The thing God doesn't like, that is the reason why today, when I was a Christian, when I became a Christian, look, even me, I went to secondary school, they said that if you are going to, you know this thing you people do nowadays, you're just hugging girls and pressing them, pressing. What? Hugging? We stand like this, we just talk. We say, they used to say that there should be some distance. What does it say? Was it 1 foot or some? There must be some distance between you and a girl. Like Christians, when you're Christian boy and Christian girl, you're standing. There's a standard distance that must be between you. It's not today, Christians. If you employ a Christian, they say it's unfortunate, but you better employ a Muslim. He may be more faithful to your business than to be a Christian. Yeah. He will say, I'll be there. I'll be there at 2 o'clock. He's telling lies. He knows, it's not that something happened though. He knows as he's telling he'll be there at 2 o'clock. He doesn't plan to be there at 2 o'clock. And he's a born-again Christian. How shall we? How shall we? Who have been saved from sin? How shall we continue to go again there? Like, oh, Nyanku pon de ofan ne mwa ontun in tem. So even when Christians have problems, have issues, they want to go to Antwa, it's faster. It's unfaithfulness. They're in church with their hair, whatever, their cloth around their waist, and their whatever, beautifully. But they just yesterday, they were coming from a Malam's place. Yeah, and they're in a church. They're in the church. Are you, what I'm preaching to you, is it making sense to you? And I'm preaching to young people who have many years to do this homework and get it right. Get it right. Look, for me, whether it was good or it was bad, I don't know. But when I became born again, I didn't have a safe teacher. I've told you this story over and over. Every SEC I tell you. I had a small New Testament, Matthew to Revelation and Proverbs. That was all I had. And I read it over. Every time I read a sentence, it blew my mind. And for me, the attitude I had was that this is God's word. And this word says, don't do this or do this. So when I read a verse in the morning, I make it the assignment for the day. Remember, Miss Mark, I'm not telling lies. God is my witness. One day I read a verse that said, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Like, I've not... That is the verse. I was surprised. Wow! So I said, okay, today I'm going to practice these three things. I mean, it's not a very small, simple thing to do. Slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to anger. Slow to speak, quick to hear, slow. That you don't have quiet time. This is that's the like, you know, looking at my face, whatever. That's how one verse it blew my mind. So I got up in the morning and I said, today is the assignment for today is slow to speak, quick to hear, and slow to anger. And you know, those days I didn't tolerate nonsense at all. That's why the slow to anger part, it was my message. Yeah, you know, like in Kwasa Sim, yeah, I know, I'd even now born again Kakra, but in Kwasa Sim, yeah. So I was walking, I'll be walking during the day. I have a class in the morning. As I'm sitting in the class, people are talking to me, people are different things are happening. I'm just remembering that as I'm about to talk then. So that I remember that first day, I was quiet most of the day. And you know, I realized that it makes you able to think properly. It's like when you're not talking, when you are quiet and you're not talking, your brain works better. I was very quiet that day. I was just moving throughout the day, very quiet. You can hear people clearly. People are talking. I think before I talk. And then something was making me angry, then I remember it. I just go. It was a real project. I was carefully trying step by step that by the end of the day I can say, today I was slow to speak, I was quick to hear, and I was slow to anger. And that was first, but you know, after some years I realized that the word of God had changed who I had become. That what I was, it changed me, because I was just, and no safe teacher. Safe teachers are struggling. They tell you the thing on Sunday, but it takes a while before you change it. No, it was not, by the time I was finishing school, in the 3 years I was, I knew that I was a changed person, because every word I read, some of the things they were, I was just amazed, like, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Then I said to myself, hey, so it means that, Charlie, if I go and start to, oh Lord, have mercy on me, and I've not been merciful to somebody, it's a waste of time. I changed my life. I changed my behavior. But somebody doesn't know. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. One day I went to Intako. Do you know Intako? Like, they have this thing where students go and sports competitions and all that. And I hadn't attended Intako before, the whole 3 years. So in third year, I said, no, I must go to this thing, Sam. So I had a friend, another girl I had a crush on. in primary school. But I don't know. She was not responding. So I dug her. Then when I came to secondary school, I remember that then somebody told me that, oh, she's at St. Mary's. St. Mary's at Collegono. So I said, oh. So I wrote a letter to her. I said, Charlie, I'll be at the intercom. Will you come? She said, she'll cancel. Then I'll meet you there. So I went. School bus to gas, Charlie. You know how you iron your things, your shirt nicely, Charlie. You know. So when the intercom was 2 days. The first day, they were on midterms. And they were returning. The first day of the intercom was when they were coming back to school. So the first day, I went. But she didn't come. So the next day, I was standing outside the stadium. And then the Mary's bus came. And I was just there. The girl dropped, Charlie. So me and her, by the entrance of the stadium, no, I didn't even enter the stadium. We were standing there till they finished the whole intercom. Whole intercom. And then they came out. So when the people closed in the evening and they were coming out of the stadium, then we heard that my school and Accra Academy were fighting inside while I was outside. They were fighting every year, throwing stones and things. But I'm telling you why I'm telling the story. When I came back that night, my radio, I had a radio used to listen to music and other kind of things. The radio that I was, the house master had come to seize it. And it was my roommate's fault. They were playing the music loud and they were talking a lot. And he just entered and collected the radio from them. So I should have been upset. So when I entered the room like this. And just, I said, already now, I was feeling very high, you know. I mean, if you're standing with a Mary's girl with her school uniform for... No. So where I was working, Charlie, it was very high level. So I just came into the room. I sat down, Charlie. Just trying to take my clothes off. And then I heard a voice. Let me tell him. Let him tell what? So let me tell him. It's okay. What is it? The guy came to sit down. So we're in the room. And then we're talking. And then the radio was on. And then we didn't see him. And then he entered. Then he said, we should give it to him. I said, so, give what to him? So, your radio, no? So, where is it? So, the house master has taken it away. And he, when he takes your thing, when you write WASI, and you are going home, then you go and collect it. If it was before merciful, blessed are the merciful. Is it because, even that's the reason why when I entered the room, no, they were arguing. Let's tell him. Let's not tell him. Let me. So eventually, they chose my best friend in the school. He was the one elected to go and tell him. Because like, if it's your best friend, you know, even if you are annoyed, crampon, he is your best friend, so you cannot be annoyed. As he was telling the story. Me, as he started telling the story, I knew where the thing was going. And I said it in my head that today, these people will be surprised by my response. So I sat down quietly. When the guy finished talking, I said, so now there's no radio in this room again. He said, it doesn't matter. The room was quiet. The room was quiet for like some few seconds. Like, we cannot believe this response. So no, the word of God works on a person, changes a person's heart. Why won't it change you? No. This everyday shouting. One day, blessed are the merciful. It don't be anything. Let it pass. Let it pass. That, you see, I'm saying that. What's the fourth point? Fourth point is what? Yes. The response is not that you don't. And that's why to know how to be faithful to Him, it is in your word, that Bible that you are reading. Me, my aim for a Strong Christian Conference every year is to show you how to go back to God. So I know that if a young person can live his life according to the word, he will be okay. He'll be okay. Why? I have my own life to show. He'll be okay. You only live your life by the Bible. Only what the Bible says is what you do. If that is all you live, if that's how you live, and you're a young person, if it's not in the Bible, I don't do it. If the Bible is against it, I don't do it. Only what the Bible says I do. You'll be fine. If that is how you live your life. And my aim, every year I come here. If you like, I can tell you my secret. If you like, check all the things I have preached. Just if you can go back to the podcast, you have a podcast. The message. We have a podcast. Okay. Saved True Vine, Saved TV's True Vine Cathedral, Saved Podcast. It's called Saved through Vine Podcast, something like that. If you look for look through your podcast app, you will see all the things I have preached since the first Strong Christian Conference. They are there. You will see that every one of them, different things, but my aim is one. Go back to your Bible and stay there. Stay there. Young person, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. Number five, and then we are moving on to the next. Number five. Repaying God's love with evil. That's number the fifth negative response. Negative responses. Repaying the lover. Repaying the love of the lover with evil. Are you in the church? Yeah. Say one day you will leave. See, I used to be a Christian before. I'm not a Christian anymore. All this Christian church thing, Jesus thing is not real. Let me tell something. You Christians, young Christians, you must learn. Second Timothy 2:15 says what? To study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You must be a pet. That's what I'm saying. Just go to the Bible. You see, people say that the Bible, white man brought it, whatever. It's not true. It's not true. And the reason why you don't know how to defend it is because you don't know. You're not studious. You don't learn. Yeah. If God forbid, I ever meet you and you say that I don't believe in this Christian thing. It's a whole. You know what? Yeah, I have encountered the deepest idiots that I can meet now. Anybody who doesn't believe in God, I'm telling you something, that they are idiots. There is a lot of evidence. Look, I'm reading a book. I'm not reading it. I'm listening to it for a long time, for some time now. And I've got to a point, chapter 3, a point in the book where they are trying to, the book is called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And they are in the book, two guys, a man and his son, who are professors, like Bible professors in university. The whole book is to try and validate or to ascertain the truth of the existence of God, of Jesus and his death. And the Bible, its veracity, like why we should believe in the Bible. And the chapter 3 where I am, they are saying, they said that of all, like the classical, there are books that have been written by people in the world that worldwide, everybody accepts as like true, a book that has been written true, is the original work of the author. Are you understanding me? Are you understanding me? They said that when you take those classical works, like one of them is called, I don't know if people don't know this, you don't learn this type of things, so I don't know whether if I tell you to make sense to you. But there's a book called Homer, the Iliad by Homer. The guy's name is Homer, but the book is called the Iliad. How many of you have heard of it before? Hey, goodness gracious us. You don't read, you people. But it's called the Iliad, and the guy who wrote it is called Homer. Homer's Iliad is a very well-acclaimed book. Now, one of the things that they use to ascertain the evidence that the book is an original work, it's how many, they call it manuscripts, how many copies, since the person wrote the original, how many other copies other people have made of that same original book? The number of copies that there are by other people, it helps to tell you that the book is an original work. So when they check the manuscripts for the Bible, when you take the Bible, the New Testament, the Bible together, the manuscripts are in the tens of thousands. As against Homer's, it's like Homer is like about maybe 200 and something manuscripts. But the Bible has tens of from different places that people copied. When the original book, John, Matthew, copied. If the person even said that he's intellectual, I don't know whether I'm saying something good, but we're almost going on break. Break is in a few minutes, 5 minutes. If the person is, he says, I'm a professor, I'm in intellect. We have professors of New Testament. Professor of New Testament. All he does, Professor of New Testament. You understand it? If the person is in university and he teaches New Testament as his course. How can you tell me that it is some white man made up the stories and have brought it to black men to deceive them and take their gold? But people do that. You walk away from the love of God. And then you don't just walk away, but you repay him with evil.
Yeah.
You repay him with evil. Your main campaign right now is how people should not become Christians. Yeah? You are telling your friends, you're showing your friends, listen, I've been a Christian before. And when somebody comes from the water, when the frog comes from the water and tells you that the crocodile is dead, you cannot argue. When the person has been a Christian, and the Bible says that if anybody has tasted of the truth, do you see, and goes away, it's difficult to bring them back again. And those people, they are the ones, when you meet them, they make you become confused.
Yeah.
I finished. May you have the proper response to God's love. After this conference, quiet time should be an act of love. An act of love towards God. I want to know what God has to say to me. If you have somebody you love, you want to hear from them often. That's why we are very happy about mobile phones. Imagine those days I had to write a letter, wait for weeks for it to get there. Weeks for it to come back again. Man, you text it one, it goes. May your response to God's love be the proper response. May the Holy Spirit reveal to you. Stand to your feet, let's pray and close. May the Holy Spirit reveal to you that the most important thing to do. Hello. Yapon. Sorry. Stand up, everybody. Stand up. Close your eyes, everybody. I just wanted to pray for. Just pray for yourself for just a few minutes as we go on break. Just pray. What are we praying? We are praying, Lord, may I love you. May I love you deeply. I want to hear you pray, pray for you. Only the prayer that you are praying gets answered. If you are thinking it in your head, it's not a prayer. Open your mouth and pray for yourself. That Lord, this is my heart. Put your hand on your heart and say, Lord, I want to love you. I want to love you deeply. I want to love you deep. I want to hear you pray. I want to hear you pray. Christians, pray. 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 Mahason close your eyes and pray for yourself, Lord. I want to love you. May my response to your love not be negative. May it be the right response, Lord. May I not be afraid, Lord. May I not take it for granted, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Rebellion doli baha sakabahalabra. Rebellion doli bala brasa bratali bala bala ba. Rebellion doli bala bala ba. To love you back, Lord, deeply. To love you back, Lord, more and more and more. In the name of Jesus. Mahavasu. I want to spend some time praying for yourself. That I will be loving you when I'm 20 years old, when I'm 30 years old, when I'm 40 years old, my love for you will be stronger and deeper. When I'm 70 years old, I'll be loving you more and more. In the mighty name of Jesus. That I will not take your love for granted, Lord. I will not be afraid of losing your love. I will respond properly to your love in the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. With your hands on your heart, Lord, this is my heart. May it love you. May it love you. May it love you. May I work in obedience to you as a show of my love for you. May I obey you in the small things, in the great things, in the name of Jesus. To love your way. To love your way. To love your presence. To love your heart. In the name of Jesus. I'm not going to be able to do that. What is this with your prayer? I want to love you, Lord. I want to love you more and more, Lord. I want to love you more and more, Lord. I want to love you more and more, Lord. I want us to pray one more thing. I said that the best person to tell how well, how best you should love him is the person you are loving himself. Is that not it? You want to pray one prayer. You want to say, Lord, me personally, show me how to love you more. Show me how to love you more. Show me how to love you every day. Show me one more thing I can do to love you more. Pray for yourself right now for a few seconds. Pray. Show me, Lord. 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 Show me. I don't hear you praying at all. I don't hear prayer. I don't hear Christian shouting and praying and say, oh Lord, I need to know. I need to know how to love you. I need to know how to love you more and more. Pray. Open your mouth and pray. Let your voice be heard. Let your voice be heard. Show me, Lord. One more way. One more way. One more thing I can do to love you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the things we have heard. Holy Spirit, we ask the Lord, you will help us to have a deeper understanding. May we love you more, and may we be a generation of young people whose love for you is deep. In the name of Jesus. When people say they cannot find Christians, real, proper Christians, who love the Lord, may we be that group that loves the Lord. May we be that exception in the name of Jesus. I pray that, Lord, you will... The Bible said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, touch. Put your hand on your hearts right now. Touch our hearts. Rub our hearts. Rub our hearts, touch our hearts, fill our hearts with the love of God, fill our hearts with love for God. The older we get, the more we love the Lord. The older we get, the more we love the Lord. The older we get, the more we love the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. We shall allow the amen in the church. Oh, a louder amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord.